Senator Chris Murphy joining us here on Brian and Company. A lot to talk about, state, national, international. Senator Murphy, thanks for the time. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, good morning. I got you now. Listen, I want to start at the state level. We've talked a ton over the recent months, energy prices. I know you're a U.S. senator and don't deal with a lot of stuff, but what should the state be doing to try to ease this issue as being one of the most expensive states in the union when it comes to energy costs?
Yeah, I just had a good conversation with the governor about this this week. Obviously, most all of these decisions are made at the level. Energy prices by and large are regulated through state statute. But, the bottom line is we need to get more generation online. We are going to have a massive expansion of demand for electricity in the world, and in particular in this country. If we don't get more generation online, the same thing is going to continue to happen. Demand goes up, supply stays stable, price goes through the roof. Yeah. So in Connecticut, obviously, we can't drill for oil. We're not going to be able to find shale gas. But we can take a look at expanding our nuclear capacity. And I think that that's something that's going to be very important. It's not without controversy. But Connecticut is going to have to build new transmission lines to be able to get more gas in to the state from places like Pennsylvania, but we are probably in the long run going to have to talk about nationally, but also regionally, whether we can bring more nuclear power online. So that's a state decision. It's not a federal decision, but it's something that I'm eager to talk to state leaders about. How do we get more power generation to Connecticut and online in Connecticut?
But that takes years, right? I mean, that's not an overnightish thing, right? I mean, that's going to take some time.
That's right. And so this, I think the state has got to decide, what other options it has, from subsidy to additional regulation. Transmission capacity can happen a little bit faster. And so, I've always been supportive of trying to see if we can get more transmission down from some of the hydropower sources in Canada, or some of the gas transmission capacity increased from the Marcellus deposits in Pennsylvania. Yeah. So those are shorter term fixes.
I want to go to national. I talk about, I'm an unaffiliated independent here on Brian and Company. I'm very nervous about the election. It doesn't matter which way it swings, actually. The nerves don't necessarily. How nervous are you and your colleagues about one way or the other, about when we're going to find out who won, the risk of instability, both institutionally or civic unrest? I mean, is this something that's on your mind at all?
Of course it is. Of course it is. But I'm going to be honest, it's really only on my mind if Kamala Harris wins. I haven't, heard any of the rhetoric from Harris and Democrats that you hear from Trump. Trump has basically previewed that he is, not going to observe the results and honor the results if he loses. He is, telegraphing that he's going to pardon the January 6th protesters, signaling that he endorses political violence. And I really worry about political violence again if Donald Trump loses the election. These wild conspiracy theories that he is now proffering about the hurricanes and FEMA preview the conspiracy theories that he is going to spread about the election if he loses. I do worry about what happens, but I'm just going to be honest. I think it's pretty clear that the worry is really about Trump losing and potentially there being violence in this country as a means of trying to put him in power, even if he loses the election.
Really quick, do you think there's any chance we'll know who wins on that Tuesday night?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. All the polls are incredibly close, but the polls have been wrong in previous years, right? Donald Trump has outperformed the polls in many states in 2020. Democratic candidates outperformed polls in 2022. I think there's a likelihood that we'll know that night.
We're talking with Senator Chris Murphy here on Brian and Company. There's a piece, the Office of Management and Budget, I think, that we're looking at a $1.8 trillion budget deficit in 24. Then there was also that study about debt to GDP, where right now it's like 125% is the projections, and Harris is projected 133% and Trump at 144%. This stuff concerns me a ton, and I feel like it's hard to win elections on debt and deficit talk. But, Is there any way we can get this stuff in line so we don't sort of, you know, have to do debt service until we derail our economy completely?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I think as you pointed out, there's a massive difference between Trump's economic plan and Harris's economic plan.
But they're both bad for the debt and deficit. I mean,
But that number that you just referenced, 133 versus 144, is actually an enormous. There's an enormous difference between those two numbers. Trump's plan explodes debts and deficits at a rate 2 to 3 times higher than what Harris is talking about. In part because Harris is talking about raising taxes on corporations and millionaires and billionaires to help pay down the deficit and to help finance the expansion of our economy. Trump is talking about another tax cut for billionaires and corporations, which explodes the debt and deficit. Yes, we are going to have to tighten our belts when it comes to Medicare spending, for instance. We are simply not going to be able to, you know, allow for so many people to make their fortune off of the Medicare program. But we are also going to have to raise taxes on people who've done very, very well. Corporations are not going to be able to, you know, continue to pay a historically low corporate tax rate when we are racking up these debts. And only Harris is proposing to do both, right? To, you know, be more careful on the spending side, but also ask the wealthiest to pay their fair share. Donald Trump is living in a fantasy land if he thinks that that you can tackle debt and deficit while continuing to give massive tax breaks for the very, very wealthy, his friends at Mar-a-Lago.
Senator Chris Murphy joining us. Your last question. We only got like a minute. I wish we had more time. But as it relates to Israel, I mean, is there a response to Iran that would be, I don't like to say appropriate because it could be loss of life and who knows what's appropriate, but that wouldn't, you know, intensify the situation?
Yes. And listen, I think that you know, Israel is responding right now inside Lebanon, and Israel has to respond to the rocket attacks that were waged against them by Iran. But the substance of the response, both inside Lebanon and against Iran, matters. We do not, the United States of America, we do not have an interest in blind escalation in the region, but we absolutely have an interest in Hezbollah being weakened, as we had an interest in Hamas being weakened. There has been a history over the course of the last year in Israel not being serious enough and careful enough about civilian casualties. I've always worried that that would increase recruitment material in the long run for terrorist groups. And so I don't want to see Israel make the mistakes I think it made in Gaza in Lebanon. But I have no problem with Israel taking out targeted strikes against Hezbollah to try to weaken their capacity. Hezbollah is bad for Israel, and Hezbollah is bad for the United States.
Senator Murphy, thanks for the time. We always appreciate it, and hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Brian.